I love doing this interview. This is a great conversation I had with Ma and Hana Mereraiha about their waiata Puhoa Me Te Porohewa, which has been named as a finalist for this year's Maioha Award at this APRA Silver Scrolls. This track was one of my favorites of the year when it came out. One of the singles released on Ma's album that was released this year, Blame It On The Weather. It's a beautiful album. This song particularly is biting. But I'll let you hear all about that in this interview. If you want to get in touch, 5395 with your name, let me know what you're thinking. Someone's listening in the garage. This is Ma and Hana Mereraiha about their song Puha Me Te Porohewa. I was wondering if you guys could take us back and situate us in the writing sessions for Puha Me Te Porohewa. Where did you guys write this and what was the environment like?
Oh, I loved our day. It was really cool. Ma and I met at a kaupapa called Ko Kotea, and it was a writing retreat on Waiheke. And yeah, we've just sort of worked together on various kaupapa since that time. It had always been, you know, a wawata final to get to work together. And so, yeah, she brought me on board for this kaupapa, and it was, I believe, oh, actually, you will probably be able to speak more to it, Ma, with regards to the program through APRA that you followed.
Yeah, so pretty much was like super lucky to be a part of the Waiata Anthem / Taumata program, where they kind of called upon a few Māori artists who are up and coming and pretty much just gave us all the support. And we did various noho and wānanga, and we connected with a whole bunch of incredible people. And the goal really was to create a waiata and a music video, but they also just like helped us kind of understand the music industry, how to, I guess, weave te ao Māori within the music industry as well. And I think it was the best thing for me was everyone that was involved. Everyone that was there showed up homies of mine now, and I love them and I respect them and their craft and their art. So yeah, I was just super lucky to be a part of that crew and have access to those resources, because, you know, it's just pretty hard out there, so super grateful.
Yeah, that was the preface for our day that we spent, and it was a beautiful day. So it was important. We were in Pōneke, started out, had a coffee and a bagel, and we sort of just got chatting about. And the beautiful thing about this waiata is that we started from completely a clean slate. You know, it was from the conception of ideas right through to the crafting of kupu. And then Ma taking it through to its post-production phase with everybody else that jumped on board as well. So it started off with a wānanga session, and we just hung out at Ma's flat in Willie's. We talked stories, we yarned about the connections that we have between us, and that was sort of, those were the threads, those were the beginning threads of what became Puha Me Te Porohewa. We wanted to come at it from a, and this was all you, Ma, like your, Ma's vision was, she wanted, because obviously we're in a very much a tumultuous political period, and there's a lot going on, and being right there in Pōneke in the hub, in the hive of all of that activity, the political issues that are affecting Māori, foreshore seabed, the Treaty Principles Bill, all of those issues were at the forefront of our minds. And so we got yarning about the different kaupapa that we've been involved with, our upbringing, you know, being highly politicized, like being Māori, you're born political, basically, a political, and highly politicized in terms of the way we think and the way, and yeah, forms part of our identity. So we wanted to create something that reflected that reflected both our journeys in te ao Māori, in the space of reclamation, our reo, tikanga, but also to create something that was actually quite disruptive in terms of the thinking in the waiata. We wanted it to create, to stir emotion, to create conversation, and to actually disrupt what's actually happening currently. Yeah.
I guess in like a little addition I can bring in is that it was written with the 2023 coalition in mind, and I guess we can call it a timestamp, or we can call it a conversation, but it simply was like an invitation to a kai, is how we, I guess, you know, the koe rate, to our papa, that was our foundation, is that we wanted to invite those three for a kai. And then after beautiful wananga and beautiful conversations and racking each other up, we managed to come up with, I guess, the entire story of Puha Me Te Porohewa, which was my favourite part of our little writing session, was once I kind of realised, oh, we think the same. We got the same, I guess, fire within us. So it was a perfect connect to have to get the song made.
I think one of the main questions I had as well was, you've talked about Ma wanting, in the creation of the song, wanting to create a safe kind of way to exercise that frustration. How is that reflected in the, like, in the writing of the song?
Well, when, you know, we write in Te Reo Māori, quite often we use metaphors, you know, to represent, to convey emotions and thinking. And kai, the kai metaphors are absolutely, you know, there's just a smorgasbord of kupu whakarite, of kiwaha, of course we've got our karakia there. You know, there's a whole lot of inspo with regards to kai. We've got pau that we were able to draw on here. So pau, karakia. And just to sort of put a spin on it, though, because we use pau and kupu whakarite usually to compose songs that mihi ki ngā ringawera and you know, te tari o te ora. There's a lot of material out there, and it's quite common, actually, for Māori to draw on that kind of material as kupu whakamihi. But what we did is we kind of put a spin on that. It wasn't about he hara tēnei te mihi ki te kāwanatanga, wero kē. So we used, you know, a lot of those metaphors and colloquial kupu to basically describe a feast of basically a political feast. And it actually has, depending on the lens that you bring to it, it has different layers in it. So, you know, it's got, the language is about, yeah, welcome to my table, welcome to my feast. But then there are these underpinning sort of nuances to the waiata that insinuate other types of, you know, with regards to concepts like kai kiri, which is racism, and all of the plays on words with regards, when you just think of the word kai, there are myriads, you know, of meaning that you can, and layers of whakaro that you can actually bring to that one kupu alone. So we played with all of that. It wasn't just about, no, it wasn't a mihi at all. We actually turned that on its head. And it became, yeah, a challenge, a feast for the mind. There was, yeah, definitely concepts about kai kiri, which is racism, and some of those insidious issues that affect all of us, not just Māori, but speak to the political climate of where Aotearoa is today. And so what Ma was saying about the timestamp, yes, absolutely, this waiata is indicative of the time period that it was composed and the thinking and the feeling that's out there in our communities at the moment.
Man, I love the inversion of that. You guys, like, I was talking to Marlon Williams about Awatūra the other day, and that's one of the things he's really, like, honed in on, was the intrinsically, like, poetic nature of Te Reo Māori. And also just sonically, it's so gorgeous. So I did want to ask, you wrote these beautiful kupu. How did you go about phrasing? Because that's one of my favourite parts of the songs. It's like, you know, you spoke about that welcome, that long drawn-out no mai at the start. How did you go about phrasing these kupu once you had the music?
I think we were just singing and writing as we went, and whatever felt yummy. And I guess tika is what we went with, and we kind of went with it strongly as well. Not a lot of thought, not a lot of kind of technical things were there to drive it. It was just what we were feeling and what we were hearing. That's what I would
believe. Yeah, it was quite a raw, sort of peeled back session, eh? Like
We didn't record it. We just wrote.
We didn't even have a good. Did we have a guitar? No, we didn't have a guitar. We basically just, it was just a lot of wordsmithing and conceptualizing and lots of, I mean, Ma, you were just able to bring those kupu to life through just riffing off and feeling the kupu and seeing where that would go melodically in terms of its cadence. That was something that you just did organically and naturally, which is really what I loved about this process, because we weren't guided by a set instrumental or anything like that. We didn't have any of that. We were led by kaupapa. It was the kaupapa that drove this waiata and kupu. And the fact that it's all in te reo Māori is a real bonus as well. I'm quite proud of that.
It's so gorgeous. On that poetry tilt, I guess, I wanted to ask whether you both have a favourite line or phrase from the waiata.
I love the just the way the karakia is at the very beginning, the first, it kind of just hits, no mai.
Yeah, it's my favourite too.
Yeah, it just sort of sets the tone, goes, you know, no mucking around, goes straight to the kaupapa. No mai, ki tēnei, horanga kai. That's not the word, but, you know, that was the wairua of what it is.
Yeah, and like performing it live feels that way as well. Like it feels like I've opened the door and I'm inviting, I guess, our guests into the whare, and it feels kind of cheeky and a little bit naughty at the same time, even though I'm trying to be a good host. And that's the bit I really love. There's so many layers to this waiata, so performing it live really, I guess, amplifies the kupu and all the mahi that we put behind it.
100%.
Maybe the karakia kai that we both kind of knew. That's tino horapa tira karakia kai. I've been doing that karakia since I was a kid. No mai e ngahua. Most of our tamariki, kōrero Māori will know that karakia, so it was a spin on that karakia as well. Yeah, with regards to all the, as I said, nuances and things that we, and the way that we actually sort of spun it. But the whole idea is that our language is a language, it is a playful language. Yes, it's deeply metaphoric, and it's embedded in our tikanga and our value system, but also it's playful, you know, it's cheeky. Te reo, you know, he reo tōtō i te karearoto, he reo whakahihiko i te ngākau, he reo whakapātaritari i te whakaaro. That's the beauty of our language as well. So taking a karakia, a well-known karakia, and then turning it into this cheeky, you know, essentially what this waiata became was something that I felt was quite in itself, it felt original.
It definitely feels that way, and it's almost like that opening no mai is like, it's like that scene in a horror film where they pull up to like a spooky house and they open it up and you're like, they're saying welcome, but this doesn't feel like a normal welcome, you know, like coming at your own risk. I just love this waiata so much. One of my favorite parts of the Silver Scrolls as well is the way that songs, finalist songs, are reimagined and rearranged on the night. Do you guys have any thoughts about how you might like to see the waiata rearranged?
No, not at all. I think that part of Silver Scrolls is amazing and beautiful, and it really just shows how artists here in Aotearoa and in the areas have a lot of respect and care for the waiata. It's so cool as well if you're doing like a pop song and it turns into a heavy metal song. Like, it just shows, I guess, the depth of the songwriter's abilities to create a waiata that can live in any world. So I'm just excited. I'm so excited to see all of the covers that come out on the night, because it's such a cool, cool thing.
I can probably, if I was to put it, chuck it into any kind of, not that it can be boxed, but just to chuck it into a genre, if you like.
Okay.
I would probably turn it into a bit of a rap number, a real grungy kind of, you know, real old school kind of, because it's got that kind of cadence there too, as well as all the sort of your poetic features of rhythm, rhyme, cadence. So you can actually take it. It could, yeah. Well, you could put it in anywhere, as you said. It can live in any world. But I'd like to see it as a, yeah, if it was remade to be done as a, rap.
Oosh.
Oosh. Big oosh.
Fuck night, yeah.